7. 6 is we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. So Todd, if you'd like to hear what you have to say to him.
My head's cut off again. How's that? That's better. Hi, everybody. My name's Todd Beckus. I'm an alcoholic. And Tim, I want you to see me after the meeting. I'm very grateful and happy to be here today. Thank you so much for the opportunity. My wife and I, we just had an opportunity to go to East Dorset, Vermont, and stay at Bill Wilson's house, and what a humbling experience that was. It was really a really nice time, really a nice venue. We really enjoyed ourselves. And to stand at the grave and to thank God and have an attitude of gratitude for this man who brought us these 12 steps, who through working through a loving God and a God that truly cares to give us a means to expel his compulsion to drink, to help us live happy, productive, useful lives. I'm so grateful. I was just so grateful, so humbled to stand there. So I'm going to speak on step 6 and step 7 tonight. And before I go on, I do this every meeting. I'm give you a little disclaimer. I'm just sharing my experience, my strength, and my hope as far as step 6 and step 7. And I did a lot of research on this one, and I find it kind of tough, not to understand or anything like that, but to try to put into words how my experience with step 6 and 7. You didn't come here to hear me read out of the book. The book says this, the book says that, or to tell you what the book says about working the step. I'm here to share with you how my experience with working the step, how I applied it to my life, how I applied it to my program. And that does include, I did write several things down, and I tend to read a few paragraphs, expound on it, First thing, I'll take you back to my early sobriety, back even before I really started looking at the steps. And I remember being in a meeting, my home group. There was a guy named Joe McDonald that was around at that time, and he had talked about how he went through 4 and 5, and he came in step 6 and step 7, and he kind of blew through it and said, yeah, I'm ready. And he kind of blew through it, went on the rest of the steps, and it caused him some issues down the road. And I made a mental note, said, that's not going to happen to me, right? So then I did a 4th and a 5th step with Jim, like we talked about last week. And maybe Jim, I don't remember a whole lot of feedback as far as character defects. I don't remember a whole lot. Perhaps he did. It doesn't matter. I knew some of the ones that were very glaring at that particular time. But if you read in the big book, it talks about take an hour and reflect on what you just did. If you can now, move on is basically what it's saying. Then there's a paragraph after that. It says, if we can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step 6. We emphasize willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all those things that we have been admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us be willing. That's all that's in the big book on a 6th step. It's not that much. It goes right into the 7-step prayer after that. So I remember when I did my 4th and 5th step and went on the 6th step, I blew right by it. Yeah, I'm ready. And I said a prayer and moved on, right? And I suffered. I guess what I'm trying to say, I suffered because of that. I got to a point down the road. I remember distinctly. I remember not feeling too good about myself inside. I remember not really liking the guy. I was looking back in the mirror, and really what I had to do was stop and go back and look at step 6 and step 7 a little more depth. And that's exactly what I did. That's exactly what I did. I love the paragraph in the 12 and 12 where it says, this is a step that separates the men from the boys, or the ladies from the women, however you want to put it. Any person capable of enough willingness and honesty to try repeatedly step 6 on all their faults without any reservations whatsoever, has indeed come a long way spiritually. And when I looked at that, you know, I have to be perfectly honest and say that there were a few defects I liked. There were a few things about myself that I liked that really are character defects. One of the examples is sarcasm. I like being sarcastic. I like setting people up and just, you know, running in and going for the kill. That's a defect. It's a defect. And it took me a long, long, long time to recognize it as a defect. You piss enough people off, or you hurt, and they're not even pissing them off, you can see the hurt in their face when you say something. And that's not who I'm about today, and I don't like doing that. So when I finally recognized that as a defect, it's something I really worked on. How did I recognize it? Well, I have a couple close friends. One of them is my friend Kevin, and another one is my friend Kate. And this might be the scenario, it's not exactly what would happen, but we would go up and say, you know, insult one another. Hey, you dummy, that's not what I would say, I'm being, clean it up here. And they would hit you with something back, and you would hit them with something back, and it was very uncomfortable. It got to the point where it was uncomfortable because one was trying to outdo the other. So I thought, you know what, if I stop and I say, hey, how you doing, nice to see you. That's how I started. God, remove this from me. This isn't comfortable. This isn't comfortable. It's not comfortable, the reaction I'm getting back from the guy. So what I did, I started changing the way I would greet them. Nice to see you. It's good to see you. Nice to see you, Kevin. How you doing today? Or with Kate, I'd go up and say, hey, bitch. And she would one up and one up and one up. And we really got to be uncomfortable. So I quit doing those things that were uncomfortable because I could see it was really kind of hurting. It was hurting her. You could see the hurt in her eyes. And you quit. And now I go up and I see Kate and I was, hey, Muffin, how you doing? That's the change. And all because I didn't like the way that I was seeing the reactions. So that was one of the ways with the sarcasm. And that's just a poor example perhaps, but that's an example of what I'm talking about. To see the reaction in somebody else's eyes. And really what I'm doing with sarcasm is I'm just trying to rip them down because I don't feel good about myself. You know, to set them up and rip them down, I don't feel good about myself. So sarcasm is a defect, and I truly do pray for the willingness and then the humility to ask God to remove it from me. Because that's not what I'm about today. It's one thing we're joking around in a group, ha-ha, laughing, but the constant, it just means I don't feel good about myself. That's my opinion. And again, the things I express here today are just simply my opinion, okay? I love the drop the rock is an excellent source of information for working the step six and step seven. And there's a couple paragraphs I put down for step six. It's brief, to the point. All it requires is become ready to become willing. I don't have to change everything overnight. What a relief that was. As I get into this and share a little more, you're going to understand why it's such a relief for me. We don't have to change everything immediately. We don't have to change immediately. And what a relief that is. I don't believe that God is going to remove these character defects from me. I really, truly don't. I believe he's going to lessen them. When I work on specific defects, I really, truly believe that he lessens them. I think he makes them less glaring. But I really, truly believe a lot of these defects, if he would actually get rid of them, I would be the most arrogant SOB around, and I think I'd be drunk again. It keeps me humble. It keeps me grounded. It keeps me in contact with the God of my understanding. Because if I never thought I didn't need God, then why would I be standing in front of you today? I need God. I need God on a daily basis to get me through life on life's terms. Anything that I do in Alcoholics Anonymous is truly, there's a guiding force behind the God of my understanding. I don't take credit for any of this. I truly don't. Left to my own devices, I've seen what happens when I do things my own self will. I see what happens when I take over the reins, so it's certainly a power greater than myself that does these positive things in my life. Once we allow room for God to work in our lives, we are making it possible for wonderful changes to take place. And how true that is. How true that is. I look back at where I was at, and we talked a lot about that with the steps, the first five steps. My best thinking got me here. And by working and trying to live these steps, it affords me a beautiful way of life today. But it's work. Alcoholics Anonymous is work. God's not going to perform these things. He's not going to help you through these things without a little bit of work behind it. If we ask God will certainly forgive our derelictions, but in no case does He render us white as snow, keep us that way without our cooperation. And it implies work. And it's something that I work on. I remember one time in particular. I had taken a new position where I worked at, and it required some training. And the training happened, it was in Detroit, and it was on a CAD system. And I wasn't really all that good with CAD system. It was relatively new to me. And I remember going to class and how intimidated I was. Well, I was just full of fear is what it really boils down to. I wasn't keeping up. At least, I'm looking around. Everybody else seemed to be doing better than I was. You know how that is. I'm comparing myself to everybody else. And you talk about a wave of fear overtaking you. And it really was so... I wish I could put into words how I felt that particular time. It was very overwhelming. And I remember coming back and talking to my sponsor about it, because I really felt about that big. I wasn't the best, so I automatically assumed I was the worst. That was so far from the fact. It was new. I was getting through it. I would certainly look at it different today. But at that particular time, it really was very overwhelming. And I remember coming home, and I remember talking to my sponsor about it. What is the defect? What is the defect? Fear. Fear. I wasn't the best, so I automatically assumed I was the worst. So I had to work in that defect. I had to work and ask God to take that from me. And it took a while. It didn't happen overnight. It certainly didn't happen overnight. None of these things happen overnight. I truly believe they're ideals. Freedom from fear for me is an ideal. Freedom from resent for me is an ideal. I truly believe that because I'm human, I'm going to have these things. And it's the step six and step seven that God affords me an opportunity and a way to lessen these defects and to make them non-existent almost. But I don't think He takes them away from me. In humility, I know that it's not me that's doing these things. I know that it's not me. There's so many different definitions of humility that are out there. The definition that was taught to me was truth about myself. I know my assets, and I know my liabilities, I know my defects. I know that about me. And I know that we'll use my self-will, I can't take care of them. And that's really what that step says to me, step seven. Humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Humbly ask, that's where you turn it over. Step six is where you reaffirm it. You wrote about it in step four, you shared it in step five, you reaffirm it in step six. Step seven is where you turn it over. And the it that you turn over in this case are the character defects. I've identified the character defects. I've done many. And with the step six and the step seven, there's always a step four and a five that goes with it. Not necessarily an amends that needs to be made later on, but there's always a step four and a step five. I need to write down an inventory of what is bothering, what's glaring. I'm experiencing, I'm feeling like crap. I'm the worst of the worst. I'm the worst of the worst. I can't do this system. I'm slow. I'm not the best. I got to write down, what's my inventory? I write down my inventory. I share it with somebody, and then I become entirely ready to have God remove it. And then I turn it over. And one of the beautiful prayers, how many times have you, it's part of my program, the seven-step prayer. My Creator, now when you should have all of me, good and bad. Good and bad. Not just all the good, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character that stands in my way of usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. So really, what I'm doing is I'm asking God's help. I'm asking Him to be the judge. You take it. In your own way, in your own time, however you want to do it, take care of this defect, whatever it happens to be. Whatever it happens to be. You decide how and when it's going to be taken care of. When it comes to time for me to be useful to my fellow man, you take care of it. You take it away from me. You use it the way best you see fit. My best thing got me here. Get myself well out of here. You take care of it. That's what that prayer means to me. So we're down the road. I want to go back. The 12 and 12, I loved reading the 12 and 12 about step 6 and step 7. And there was one paragraph in step 7 that really jumped out and hit me in the head like a 4x4. And it says this, it says, the chief activator of our defects had been self-centered fear. Primarily fear that we would lose something we already possessed, or would fail to get something we deserve. Living upon a basis of unsatisfied demands, we were in a state of continued disturbance and frustration. Therefore, no peace could be had unless we found a way, unless we could find a means of reducing these demands. When I read that, it jumped out at me, hit me in the head just like a 4x4. That was my life. That was my life. I was always wanting this, wanting that. If I had this, I'd be better. If I had that, I'd be better. I have this. If this happens, you're going to take this. I'm not going to have this. I was constantly in a state of turmoil. Constantly worried about losing whatever. So when I incorporate step 7 in my life, I let God take care of that. I let God take care of that. I'm going to touch on some things throughout my sobriety, some things that major jumped out. I was sitting there thinking about this today. What are some events in my life that happened where I was able to use a step 6 and a step 7 to get through it? And keep in mind, it took a while. It didn't happen over. I didn't say, my creator, I'm not willing to have all me, abracadabra, you're done. That's not how it happened. It took work. Sometimes it took months of work. But when we got through the end, got through the tunnel, got through the light at the end of the tunnel, got through it, I was a better person because of it. One of the things I didn't get into a relationship for a long time, like 10 years. They said suggested a year, I waited 10 years. Not on purpose, I have, you know, but I started to care about myself. I started to have some ideals, some standards, and I started to live up to them. So I was about 10 years sober and I got in this relationship, and maybe I talked about it before. I don't remember if I mentioned it at this particular meeting or not, but we had a pretty good relationship for about the first year or so, and then things went sour. Whatever happened, it really doesn't matter where, when, or how, but basically she decided to see somebody else, forgot to tell me about it. I didn't handle it real well. I didn't handle that really well. I didn't handle it. I was very emotionally immature at that particular time, and I didn't handle it really well. But you taught me. You taught me to keep in close contact with my sponsor. And as bad as I hurt, as difficult of a situation as I was, that's exactly what I did. I kept in contact with my sponsor. I did write a fourth and a fifth step on that situation. In fact, I did a couple of them. And we discovered the defects, and then in step 6 and step 7, I asked God to remove them. I became willing and asked God to remove them. That didn't happen overnight. That didn't happen. I had no desire to drink whatsoever, but I had a lot of homicidal thoughts, I'll be perfectly honest with you. But you know what? I listened. Because my best thinking got me here. So I wasn't thinking too well. Things were pretty tense at that particular time. And as time passed, as I was practicing step 6 and practicing step 7, it gradually got easier. And I gradually was able to be okay with the situation because there was nothing I could do about it anyway. God had got me through that. God, you people, and Alcoholics Anonymous got me through that. And at the end, I was able to walk through, didn't lose my integrity. I was able to walk through with my head held up. And I didn't do something that I would have regretted. There was a time in my life that I was a part of the Erie Area Spring Conference. I was asked in 2007 to be co-chair, and at that particular time, I remember that we were having a sauerkraut dinner. And I remember really fretting and being really afraid, how am I going to handle all this? And that's what was going through my head, how am I going to handle all this? And the chairperson came up and she said, Todd, you have a whole committee behind you. You don't have to do it. What a wonderful lesson that was. What was a defect? A fear. Not asking for help. I had to look at that close and become entirely ready. And then to turn it over and let God take care of it. And we had a whole committee. I didn't have to worry about that. I was taking way too much on, like everything fell on my shoulders. You talk about an egomaniac with an inferiority complex. It went along just fine. But with that particular card, when I was chairman, there was a certain individual, a lot of you know who I'm talking about, who really caused a lot of grief. He was a speaker seeker, and we had a way of doing things, and I was chairman, and we followed that way of doing things. And he didn't particularly like it. In fact, he resigned from that position, which it really didn't matter to me. But he caused a lot of, let's say he made a lot of ripples in the pond. I guess that's a nice way of putting it. Caused a lot of turmoil here and there. But I followed the principles. You know, I really had to sit down and look at what was the defect. People pleasing. I'm a horrible people. I used to be a horrible people pleaser. Fear. That was another. Fear. Fear again. And you know what? I became ready to have God take those defects from me. And I turned it over. We had a wonderful conference that year. A wonderful conference that year. It was a group effort. It wasn't Todd that did it. It was a group effort. Let everybody do their jobs. We had a wonderful conference that year. Again, getting me out of the way, asking God, humbly asking God for His help, and He always provided. When I humbly ask, He always provides. I might not always see it at that particular time, but He provided. One of my great defects is self-pity. I could always see it in everybody else. In fact, I would point it out. I wouldn't necessarily go up and tell the person that they suffer from self-pity, but I would look at them, and in my head I'd say, you're full of self-pity. And then one day, the three fingers are pointed back at me, and I realize how full of self-pity that I am, and can be at times. If you start a sentence, why are they, or I should have, or what, something along those lines, you're suffering from self-pity. It took me a long time to realize I suffer from self-pity. And that's one of the defects that comes out in my fourth and fifth step. I'm struggling, I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that. I write it down, discover it's self-pity, and I become entirely ready to the best of my ability. It takes time, and then I ask God to humbly take that from me. You know what? It doesn't mean I don't suffer from self-pity today, because I do. I really, truly do. I'm able to recognize it. And I think a lot of times with these steps, what they help me do is recognize it earlier than it would any other time. I'll delve in it, and I'll suffer from it for a little bit of time, then I'll realize what's going on. Okay, write it down, do a fourth and a fifth, and then ask God to remove it. I don't suffer near as long as I used to. I can recognize a defect much quicker now. Oh my gosh, one of the selfishness and self-centeredness that we think is the root of our trouble. As you know, my lovely wife Laura, I met her in 05, and you know, we developed this beautiful and wonderful relationship. And right around 2009, her lease was up in her apartment, and it just made sense that she should move in. By then I had asked her to marry me. So it just made sense that she should move in with me. And her and her lovely daughter did. Now, you got to remember, up at this point, I was single for quite a long time. I did what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. I went on vacations. I went here. I went there. So I'm used to living the life of a bachelor. And now these two beautiful women are in my life, and now they're moving into my house. And I had this set of ideals in my head as what was going to happen when they moved in. Because, my God, I'm almost an old-timer now, right? I found out about defects I didn't know existed prior to moving into my house. Selfishness and self-centeredness, oh my gosh. I really thought I worked a good program. And in all fairness, I did. I really felt that I did. But when Laura and Carly moved in with me, I found out about areas of selfishness I never knew existed. Never knew existed. I never had to share anything. I never had to compromise. I never had to do any of that crap. Until I got in a relationship with Laura, and we learned to compromise. We learned to talk things out. But it was quite painful for a long time. And again, step six, step seven, what's the defect? And it's always fear. Control. I don't know about you, but I have a problem with control. And you got these two beautiful women in my life who don't see things quite the way that I see them, and they're not shy about expressing their ideas. And for quite a while, there was turmoil at my house. even with Carly growing up, it wasn't all her; it was a lot me. And what I had to do, I sought out a buddy of mine. A lot of you remember Eric Kennedy. He was from Greenville, and we used to send him cars. He was in Iraq, and Eric went through an identical situation. He and his wife Marcia, when they got together, she had two young boys, and. It was the same situation, same identical situation, just a different part of the state. And what I did was I had to sit down, and what I had to do was look at my part. And I promise you, I had a part in it. I had a part. I'm very defiant. I'm very stubborn. You know, you sink in, I'm going to sink my heels in too, and a battle of wills. And I wasn't going to lose, and caused a lot of trouble, caused a lot of turmoil. I had to learn to pick my battles. I had to learn my part. I had to understand what my defect was in these situations. Now, it wasn't always like that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but some days it was pretty rough in the Beckett's house. And I had to look at my part, and step six and step seven were huge, huge, huge parts of my life at that particular, they still are today. I need to identify my defect, and I need to humbly ask God and turn it over. Turn over my shortcoming. And it doesn't mean that we don't have problems, because we do. I mean, we're human. We're you got two human beings, very headstrong human beings in a household. But you know what? We really, truly work on ourselves, and we don't have near the amount of turmoil that we used to have. It really, this stuff works. These steps truly, truly work if you work them. And it's not me that's doing it. It's trusting a God of my understanding to take care of the situation, to get my ego out of the way, get my self-will out of the way. I suffer from that a lot. I get self-will, and I want things right now, what I want, when I want it. And I need to learn it's in God's time, not God's time. And we do have, I shared a couple different stories about my daughter and the relationship we have today. And it's funny, even growing up, that she, you would say something and she would just, you know, brush you off. But it's kind of comical today how she'll bring up things that you said to her a long time ago. So she was listening. You know, and my ego, I wanted to hear, I wanted to be right, I wanted to be right, and don't always have to be right. You know, she's listening. You hear me talk a lot about fear. And that's something that even to this very day, I have fear in my life. I'm going to talk about where I worked at, 2014, I don't know if you remember or not, but there was a big, the place I worked at was very, oil was the driving force behind the price of oil. When the price was up, things were good. When the price dropped, things were bad. 2014, things dropped, big time. And that particular time, they actually got rid of about half of the company. And I got hit with such a dose of fear that I couldn't eat. It was consuming. The fear of losing my job was consuming me. It really made me sick. I lost about 30 pounds just hanging my head all the time, going to work and seeing that, working with people you know aren't going to be there. It was horrible. It was a horrible time. It was a horrible time in my life. But again, what I had to do, write down a step six and become entirely, I'm sorry, I had to write down a fourth and a fifth, understand the defect, step six, and then turn it over, step seven. And it was difficult. It was real difficult. Was able to get through it, and I was able to get through that situation. But still, it's always in the back of my head. My greatest fear was losing my job. I was there for 28 years. And I walked in April of 2020, and they walked me out one day. But you know what? It did goof me up for a little bit. It really did. The fear was tremendous. I wasn't able to sleep for a little while, but again, step six and step seven. When you pray for God's will, you better be ready to carry it out. So again, identified the defect in my life at that particular time that was pretty big was fear. What am I going to do? I don't have this job. It was defining me. And something I remembered was a good friend of ours used to be around here, Jeff. He said, work is what I do, it's not who I am. And so I did a fourth and a fifth. I identified the fear. And then I got to work, turned it over to God, and trusted that whatever happens was supposed to happen. And I did that. I practiced that. I truly applied it to my life. I lost my job on April 22nd, 2020. And my job at that particular time became getting ready to find a job. I had to come up with a resume. And there were a few other things I had to work on. And again, working on that step six and step seven, turning that fear over every day and working on that. And the way that God works in my life, one of the things that they recommended was building up a LinkedIn profile, so I did. And there's people on there that I knew, and I'm asking them to be a part of my network. And one guy in particular, I didn't know that he worked where he worked at. I just saw he was my friend, and I asked him to be a part of my network. He accepted, and he said, well, how do I get a hold of you? Long story short, I was only out of work for about 2 months. Started working there. And all I was doing, I was running the machine. I was getting paid well to run the machine, but my skill set was a little, I'm not being arrogant, but it's a little bigger than that. I do things much bigger than that. So down the road, that's what God wanted me to do, just to heal, run the machine, and live about your life. And I did that. And then a set of circumstances, I'm on a committee up at the Erie County GoTech. And we had a meeting here last October, virtually. And we're all sitting there, we're saying hi to one another. And the instructor asked, with COVID, how are you guys doing? And let them know what happened. Just let the whole group know what happened. The next thing I know, my phone's blowing up. They're asking me, the one gentleman that was on there was asking for my resume. Sent my resume. And next thing you know, I'm working where I'm working at now, in line with my skill set. So what I'm saying to you is, when you ask for God's will, hold on. Hold on. I prayed to have this defect of character, this fear, removed from me. And then I turned it over to God. And He just guides me, He just leads me. So there's a tremendous amount of trust. A tremendous amount of trust that goes in with something like that. It wasn't easy to sit back and lose a career you had for 28 years and then to move on. But you know what? I'm not the only one. When I got God on my side, when I can look at myself and for what I am, for who I am, and try to be a better person, turn it over, that's the kind of things that happen. I made it later than I thought I was going to make it tonight. But I that's just been some of my experience with step six and step seven. Just scratching the surface. I want to thank you people for listening. God bless you all. Thanks.
Thank you, Todd. So now we have some time for questions and answers. So if you're here in the room, go ahead and raise your hand. If you're on Zoom, you can unmute yourself and just speak up when you have a chance. So who would like to get us started with a question for Todd?
Todd, I want to thank you for reminding me of all my character defects tonight. And that we have the same ones. I just question, when you were talking about a relationship breaking up and that fear that you had, was your instinct like, what am I going to do? Or my instinct would be, what's wrong with me that this happened?
You know, that's a, I didn't go into too much detail. But the truth is, it really screwed me up for a little while. I mean, my delicate male ego and seeing the situation for what it was, it really screwed me up for a little while. And I didn't realize how much it screwed me up until I started to come out of it. And how did I come out of it? The 12 steps and going to meetings. It was pretty deep. It hit pretty deep. But you know what? It made me a better person. It truly made me a better person. And I was able to see, A, I had a part in it. But B, I didn't make an idiot of myself and do something stupid. Carried myself with dignity, with integrity. I was able to walk through it and mature from that. And got to see the reward down the road. So, yes, it did. It was much deeper than what I led on to, but I was able to get through it nonetheless. Thank you.
Who else would like to ask a question? Anyone on Zoom?
Not on Zoom. Thanks so much, Todd. It was you really covered a lot and a whole lot of different life situations. But I'm Leslie, alcoholic. I don't know if we're supposed to. Anyway, it seems to me, and does it seem? I'll ask. You know, does it your point of view on this or what your experience is? I'm beginning to be thoroughly taken with how this step 6 and 7 is a for life operation. And that it never ends, and that the surrender never ends, and the learning never ends, and the defects never end. And I was wondering, you know, how does your experience square up with that, number one? And number two, as you talked about the relationship and the daughter that your spouse brought into the situation, let's just say for me, there was no lesson in powerlessness like parenting a child, because no matter, you know, to just get my brain around that. So I was, whatever you want to say on how 6 and 7 works for you with this ongoing thing of it's a forever surrender, I'd love to hear your thoughts, please.
Sure. There was one paragraph that I didn't read that I think would be appropriate. I wanted to read it. I just it didn't catch my eye. This is from the 12 and 12. This is in step 6. So, step 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character, is A's way of stating the best possible attitude one can make in order to make a beginning on this lifetime job. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. As you heard when I went through the talk, one of the defects that keeps cropping up in my life is fear. I really truly believe it's an ideal freedom of fear. And every time that something comes up where I deal with it, I peel a layer of the onion off. I truly believe that this is a lifelong endeavor. I'm going to be working on character defects my whole life. I'm just one of the ones I believe I need to go back to step 4 and 5 and 6 and 7. There's not necessarily an amends that needs to be made with working a 4th and 5th step and a 6th and 7th. It's just something I've identified a little bit deeper. There's no amends I needed to make for losing my job. I needed to work on me to get through what was causing that fear. I mean, it happens to people all the time. It happens to people all the time. And as far as parenting goes, wow. I think that's why I never had any kids of my own, because I know what I the run I gave to my parents for their money. By following some direction, looking at my part in the situation, because I had a huge part in a lot of the things that went on. Had I not reacted certain ways, it may not have escalated and got like it did. But at the same time, I was also able to recognize a lot of things I did right, because she exhibits a lot of those things now. Now, the first person that she calls when she's, and now that she's with a fiance, of course, but prior to that, the first person she would call, her car broke down one day. Who she called? She didn't call her dad, she didn't call her mom, she called me. When she needs something mechanical, when she needs something, she knows she can depend on me today. And that was one of the things that you taught me, to get myself out of the way. Look at your part in it and be consistent. Be consistent. Say what you mean and mean what you say. And by able to do those things, I didn't get immediate results. And sometimes it took months. Sometimes it took longer. But by being consistent, following the principles of the program, and trying to love her as best as I can, positive results happen. And we have a really good relationship. Now, when she's around today, I'll say things, I can't wait to see it. She'll come in and she's just one of those big toughies. She'll make you work for it. But if I don't hug her before she leaves, she's hurt. It's kind of comical to see. She'll sit there and I don't want to hug you. She's inching closer to you because she's waiting for you to wrap her arms around you. By looking at myself and identifying those things, we have a really good relationship today. But I've never felt so powerless over a situation than this goofy little girl that I end up raising, helping to raise. So thank you for the question.
Who else has a question for Todd? If nobody else does, that's it. Thank you, Todd.
Thank you.